On the show today, we have Columbine Federal Credit Union's very own Eric Williams and your marketing company's Bode McDonald. Both are on the show today talking about how the credit union's bold new mission and vision looks to help prioritize resources and maintain relevance. And again, this is a very a bold mission and vision for this credit union, and they're making some huge changes, and the results speak for themselves. So check it out. Everybody, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome back to our show. And on today's program, we have two fine gentlemen here in the credit union industry. And let's do some introductions. Right next to me is Mr. Eric Williams from Columbine Federal Credit Union in the fine state of Colorado. Eric, how are you, sir?
Doing great. Beautiful day. Can't complain.
Indeed. And then right below us is Mr. Bo McDonald from your marketing company. Bo, how are you, sir? Good to see you again.
I am dandy. I hope you are too.
I'm doing good. Doing good. Thanks for asking. Appreciate it. Yeah, we are kind of in the dog days of summertime, and looks like the weather is pretty good there in your neck of the woods too, Bo. Looks like you got some nice sunshine there.
A couple thunderstorms. If we make it through this interview and I don't lose internet, it's going to be a good day.
All right. Well, fingers crossed. All right. I've been anxious to really get you guys on the show today because Columbine, you guys have changed your mission and your vision, and you did all this to kind of help prioritize resources and maintain relevance out there, as most credit unions are doing these days. But you had the help from the fine folks at Bo's firm, your marketing company. So, and I really want to kind of dive into this. But Eric, first, let's dive in. First question here. Can you share with us this new mission and vision that you guys have adopted? And then what was the why? I'm sorry to drop the bombshell question here up front, but what was the why? Why did you guys decide to change?
Well, I mean, honestly, you know, one thing that me and Bo had talked about was that we were changing the wording, but we weren't changing who we were.
Okay. Got it.
That was actually really important for us. You know, and even talking with my staff in the rollout, we talked about it wasn't a strategic direction change for the credit union. We wanted to highlight what we were doing in the community already and highlight it even further, you know, take it a step further, allow more people to understand exactly who we were, you know, because our organization has a story itself. And that was very important for us to communicate that not only with our staff internally, but our community around us. Mm-hmm. And so, our new evolved is kind of how we were kind of saying it. Our evolved vision was that our vision is to be the leader in helping our members, employees, and community pursue their dreams. Mm-hmm. And we wordsmith like you do on all these statements. And it was really important for us to say the leader. We may be a $66 million credit union, but we wanted to set the bar high. We wanted to sit there and be someone that could inspire others to take that step and to maybe, you know, reach a little bit further than they thought they could. So it was important even for words like that to be a part of the statement. And then our mission statement, we say, we listen to your personal story and provide the tools and education you need to reach your dreams and succeed. And then the tagline that I think everyone is seeing is, when others don't, we give a damn. And a lot of conversation around it. And what I loved about it was Bo asked us, and I'm sitting at the table and Bo said, what makes you different? And it was those words. And he just looked at me and challenged me and the board and said, are you willing to put it on paper? And we said, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So it honestly was a beautiful organic experience. I'll be the first to admit, I thought I had a great one ready to go. I thought I had one that was just going to like knock the socks off of everyone in the room. And as we were working our way through the process and really diving in on empathy mapping with our membership and what we were already doing and highlighting that, it came to bed and it was perfect the way that it came out. And so there it is. There's the vision, there's the mission. And it's been a great journey. And each day is more exciting than the next because we're able to introduce it to somebody else. And that's what I find really inspiring.
So, Bo, is this kind of what you guys were anticipating here, is to kind of capture people's attention and even kind of change the mindset here as well, and being this leader and really kind of setting the tone here and working with Columbine Federal Credit Union?
It was kind of, but it's really about authenticity. The whole, you know, we give a damn. I didn't go in trying to press them and, you know, how can we Howard Stern this thing and, you know, make, you know, grab people's attention. I think some of the best things that have happened in our work like this is just when someone says the right thing at the right time. And it's so authentic. When Eric said that, I'm like, that's it. Are you willing to embrace that? You said that from the heart. Do you believe it? And are you willing to put that on paper? And when the board said yes, I looked at them and I asked that three times because it's a pretty bold statement.
Sure.
Are you willing to put this on paper? Will you back this up? And the entire board, I don't think there was, you know, there were some questions and maybe, you know, a little back and forth, like any good board would do in a situation like that. But in the end, it was this is us. This is our authentic self and what we believe and what we want to do.
Mm-hmm. And that, I mean, making a statement like that, as you're talking, Bo, it's almost kind of ups the ante of really living that vision too, because it's such a bold statement. So, okay. So we've kind of, you got to raise our game a little bit to live up to this, right? Is that kind of what you guys are seeing as well, Eric?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was part of what we wanted to incorporate with how we were bringing people into the organization. You know, we wanted to hire people that embraced that, that accepted that challenge in a sense. So it was part of the whole, I would say, organizational mindset, you know, change that we had been doing it. I think that was what was so enlightening for the staff that I already had. You know, I had asked them, I was like, please tell me some of the personal stories that you have helped our members, you know, succeed. Yeah. And they struggled with it. And I was like, how in the world are you guys struggling with it?
Yeah.
I'm back here and I can tell you 10 just off the top of my head. You know, and so when I was able to bring that into the staff meeting and the rollout and really highlight those experiences for them, they got it. It was almost like light bulbs went off and they understood a little bit more what we were trying to accomplish and what we kind of kept telling them, like, listen to the story. You're a storyteller as an underwriter.
Yeah.
You know, the underwriter doesn't know that person's, you know, history. And so we kept trying to highlight that. And then I don't think they ever thought of themselves as success stories either. That was probably the best part of it was when I started talking to them. And actually I will give credit. One of my employees said, Eric, am I a success story? And I was like, you absolutely are, you know, talking about her development in our organization, how she had moved from a frontline job to one of our most important jobs in a sense. She does a lot of our indirect lending. So she's a relationship developer. She's the first person that a lot of our members are coming into contact with. So her development there, but then also on her own side, you know, her own credit history and her own things like that, that she's been able to develop and stuff. So I was just like, you're the fine example of success within this credit union. So, and then we talk about the community stuff that we've done. I don't think a lot of people thought about that as well. Yeah. They just see it as a business decision. I don't think that they think about it as there was that level of how can we help this individual achieve a dream mm-hmm. is really what we answered. And like I said, we had two dealership, or well, three now, you know, but the very first one came to us and not a single person would touch them. No one would sign them up to do loans with them. You know, they either needed history, which of course they don't have as a brand new dealership.
Right.
And they weren't floor planning. They weren't doing all the things that, you know, maybe a bigger financial institution would require of them. But we listened to the individual, the owner, Ron. And he had been in finance for many, many years. He mm-hmm. took time out of his own life to go and learn from somebody else the business plan that he was wanting to roll out here in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
And he even committed to help paying that person back for his time. His wow. time and his business plan. And when you're listening to that story, you know that individual is going to be successful.
Completely.
I mean, there's, you know, when they committed that time and resources into that and in order for him to achieve his family's dream, it was absolutely a no-brainer for us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was easy for us. We maintain underwriting. So, I mean, it's just like us deciding on our own member loans.
Yeah.
You know, but just giving him a chance to have people financed that didn't have financing when they walked in the door.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I'll be going to an anniversary party for him this weekend.
Right on.
Which is awesome, you know? And so, you know, I love that story. It's one of the biggest ones that I like to talk about. Because again, it showed how we reached in further into our community. And we even kind of talked about it. It's also a part of an underserved community. It's motorcycle riders, you know, and believe it or not, you know, of course there's lending on it, but a lot of people don't feel that comfortable doing it. And we do. And we found a way to make sure that we felt good about doing it. And we're able to reach a whole new brand of membership, I'd say, and help people achieve their dreams, not only on lending side, but also on their own personal dreams of starting their own business.
Yeah. And that's going to come back to you as well, right? Because you're there for them. And so they're going to be there for you. So it's a definitely a two-way street. So yeah, that's such a great, great. I love how that story really paints the picture of what you guys are doing here. And Bo, I just read before the interview, I just read an article on CU Insight about is entitled Three Things Killing Credit Unions en Masse Right Now. And one of the things was like kind of sitting still and saying, hey, you know what? We're all right right now. And this is definitely not what's going on at Columbine Federal Credit Union. You guys are putting the pedal to the metal, as they say. And so was this kind of in the back of your mind as well, Bo, in working with Columbine?
You know, I know Eric is a very humble person, so I'll brag for him.
Okay.
You know, Columbine was successful. You know, well, Eric was there before he took over as CEO, but Eric came in with this new excitement of a new leader and a vision. He saw the opportunities that were there at Columbine that were already there and just built on that. Mm-hmm. and started working with the team. And again, I go back to the word authenticity. A lot of times when we work on mission and vision stuff like this, mm-hmm. it's all corporate speak. Everyone is agreeing on every single word, yeah. and let's not go crazy. Yeah. Let's make sure that everyone's happy. We don't want to leave anyone out. And it was a situation like this where, you know, Eric knew who he wanted to serve, the brand of the credit union, who their ideal member was. And we don't need fancy words. We just need words that really speak to what we're doing. And I always say, you know, some folks just put lipstick on the pig. Let's craft this new vision and roll it out to the staff. Yeah. And then we can become that. Well, Eric crafted this statement, he and his team and his board, and they rolled it out to the team to say, this is who we have been. Now we just have words to say it.
Yeah.
And when you have a mission and vision like that, that your staff is already living. And one thing I want to point out, a lot of credit unions miss this opportunity, is that the staff remembers too. And if the staff have a story, we don't have to market to them about what is this new brand? What is this new vision? Completely.
Yeah. Yeah.
They believe it. It's like the old Hair Club for Men commercials. I'm a member too. And they can authentically share that.
Yeah. 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 Great example. Great example. And Eric, so how will this new vision and mission prioritize resources and maintain your relevance? Because I mean, obviously you alluded to it in your previous responses, but to dive a little bit deeper here on how this is going to help you guys out.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, one of the things we really wanted to do, because I mean, as Bo mentioned, I took over the president CEO role in August of 2020. In the heart of the
gosh, what a time to take that over. Well done, lad.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, honestly, it was a tough time. I mean, you've got morale at an all-time low. You know, but even then, looking at decisions that we were making throughout the pandemic, I was highlighting that as well. We are a shared branch credit union. You know, we'll let our members use them, and we will serve other credit unions as well. And in one of our management meetings, we had the question of, should we stop serving other credit unions members on shared branching? Hmm. Like, absolutely not. I was like, you know, this is the time where we say we are a credit union. We are here to serve. This is a time for us to serve. I was like, this is a prime opportunity for us to live that, the philosophy of a credit union. And so even then I looked at the whole sentence of, when others don't, we give a damn.
Yeah.
That became part of that as well. Mm-hmm. You know, because again, it was probably the one time, I'm a very soft-spoken individual in management meetings typically, but it was probably the one time I got a little fiery about the question, and not in a bad way, but just kind of like, absolutely not. You know, we will serve as long as we can, you know, as long as it's safe, you know, to do so. So how's it helping us prioritize as well? I think that it's allowing our staff to understand that they can maximize some opportunities. I think it's allowing them to dig a little bit deeper. You know, we've gone back and we've looked at some of our policies. We've looked at some of our lending policies and concentration limits and things like that. And we've made minor adjustments. You know, we don't want to disrupt the boat too much, but it allows us to sit there and say, this really is who we are. And mm-hmm. it's helped us get to where we are. One of the things that I was kind of, you know, we kind of keep kind of highlighting is that, you know, this evolution really did start back in around 2011. You know, and I do got to give some credit to my predecessor. He was the one that said, if we are going to survive, we've got to start growing. We've got to start reaching out or start doing things differently. And so I kind of, I think in a sense, I've been able to come on, you know, towards the tail end of a lot of that growth. But as Bo has kind of said, just take it to the next level, take it to the human level within our organization for our staff. It had been grow. It had been one project right after another, a new building, a new core, all these types of things. But we weren't being able, I think at a point, we weren't so focused on developing membership. We were getting members through indirect lending, but we weren't necessarily developing it to where I thought we were truly living the mission. And so I think that's what's allowing us to kind of take that look and figure out how we can connect even deeper with our membership that we have and continue to grow.
Yeah. And that segues perfectly to my next question to Bo is like, when you guys were working together, when you're creating these new directions, what was the end goal here? What did you guys have in mind to achieve? What did you, obviously, again, changing the mindset and kind of being a little bit more bold about what you want to do and kind of up in the ante here. So from you guys' perspective, what were you guys thinking here as the end goal?
I mean, let's face it, a $66 million credit union, everyone is rooting against you. Everyone is saying, I mean, I go back to that article earlier this year, I forgot which publication it was, but the bodacious headline was merge or die, the option for small credit unions. It wasn't survive, it wasn't thrive. Everyone's rooting against us, the small credit unions. And rightfully so, we got a lot, you know, Eric's got a lot of obstacles in his way being thrown at him every day. So as a small credit union or boutique credit union, as we've been calling them with the work with the underground, how are you going to stand out? How are you going to be different? We have the same checking accounts, the same auto loans, the same great rates and great service with the smiley person that everyone else has. What makes us different? And it's opportunities like what Eric has taken to say, here's a niche in the market that's not being served that we can serve well. Our goal isn't to go be a $500 million credit union tomorrow. Our goal is to be the best credit union we can be and grow that way. Let's find that one niche that no one else is serving. We don't have to worry about competition. We have to compete on rate. We can be our authentic selves, serve them well, and grow that way. And the numbers prove it. If you look at over the last 12 months, those quarter by quarter numbers, it speaks for itself.
Can you share? I mean, I know this is coming from left field, but do you have any of those numbers to share or any type of results or anecdotes that you can share, Eric?
Yeah. You know, we closed down December of last year with a loan portfolio of 50.2%. Or I'm sorry, 50.2 million.
Okay.
We closed out June at 54.9.
Wow.
We have a 21% loan growth rate this year. And so, I mean, that's one of the biggest ones. And I honestly look at that as a connection between the mission, you know, because really where we're going to help most people achieve their dreams and succeed is through lending opportunities. You know, like Bo said, we all have the same checking accounts. We all have dividend rates. We all do those things. But where we're really going to help most people in mostly underserved communities is giving them lending opportunity. And so that is a key example of how well I would say, not only our relationships that we have within the community and with our dealerships, but also how our staff has embraced continued loan growth. And we are a lending machine, I'd like to say. We are 90% loan to share. I kind of talk about it a lot. We are a unicorn credit union in Colorado, with what our size is, with what our loan to share is, with what our indirect loan portfolio sits at. You know, so we've got indirect loan portfolio larger than $100 million credit unions and stuff. So it really is opportunity and really trying to make sure that we are listening and providing those opportunities when they're warranted.
Yeah. And having said all that, Eric, what advice would you have for other credit unions looking to do something like this? I mean, obviously the statement is bold, and again, it kind of almost forces you to really up your game here. So having said that, what advice would you have for a credit union going down this road?
You know, I love the word Bo's been using, authenticity. Yeah. I kind of said it earlier too, it's an organic process. You know, again, I thought I had a perfect mission statement that was going to rally the troops and break down the doors and, you know, just make us a $500 million credit union in 2 years, you know, but it wasn't us though. It really wasn't the group of my leadership team all put together. And when we started to talk about that and really uncover who we were, that's what came out. And so I would just say, don't go into it with any preset ideal of what it should be. Let it organically happen. Mm-hmm. And then if you truly feel that way, then embrace it. You know, I mean, one of our policies is our mission statement. So we revisited it when we updated that policy this year. You know, hey, there it is. It's in policy.
Yeah.
And we were proud of it going in there. You know, so I think that was part of that embracing aspect. You know, mm-hmm. there was an opportunity, I guess, for us to hit eject and to say, no, that's too much for us. You know, but we all sat in that room again and relived strategic planning and said, got that fire again. That's what I love about strategic planning, is the fire you get when you're there. Yeah. And we got it again, you know, and to start this year with policy review. So it was great to have that. Be authentic. And if it's truly you, then go ahead and embrace the hell out of it.
Yeah. And when you're authentic, a lot of these things kind of fall into place, right? So, and you can't, not that the being a $500 million credit union is the end goal here. It's obviously, it's nice, but all that type of stuff falls in line. And then you can kind of almost organically grow to that. And coincidentally, Eric, you have an A right over your right shoulder there for authenticity. So what a coincidence that you hung that up there. I like that.
Perfect.
I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Hey, and Bo, I want to, because you live this daily as well and working with other credit unions. What advice do you have for other credit unions doing something like this, even on kind of a bold level like Columbine did?
You have to get rid of the fear. I talk about that so much.
Yeah, you talk about that a lot. Yeah.
So many credit unions will come to us and they'll see the numbers. They know we work with Eric and other credit unions we work with and say, how can we do that? Or why isn't our credit union getting those numbers?
Yeah.
We're, you know, we've got the same stuff as so-and-so. Of course, you've got the same products and services. You don't have the same heart. You're, you know, a lot of times I either see those that they're trying to be everything to everyone and at $66 million, you can't be, you know, I don't want to, this is Eric's show today, so I don't want to hijack it, but to just duplicate what he's doing. If you look at Maple Credit Union down in Lafayette, they say, we're the perfect place for imperfect people. Well, that wasn't crafted in the marketing room at a think and drink with a bottle of wine. A member said that to us.
Oh, really?
Said, this is great. Like, this is authentic. And Hope South Credit Union in Abbeville, South Carolina, the same thing. Their name and mission came from a member saying, you've given me so much hope with what you've done for me. Yeah. And we just kept hearing that over and over again. So take what you're doing and don't try to make it who you want to be, but mm-hmm. be authentic and
who you are
and stand for something. You know, if you look at Columbine's Facebook page and social media, some credit unions would soil themselves and say, we can't do that. That's too crazy. But it speaks to their ideal member authentically. They're relevant. They're being one of them. And it just takes getting over that fear of doing something different and taking a stand for something.
Yeah. Yeah. And on that note, my last question here is kind of anything else to add to wrap up here. I love that note that you just said, but I've seen a lot of your posts and a lot of your stories over the, you know, last few years. And a lot of what you talk about is getting rid of that fear, and that fear is what holds us back, unfortunately. But if you can get past that, oh my gosh, things, you know, sky's the limit for sure. So I like how you really stress that. And having said that, so anything else to add to wrap up here, Eric, I'll let you go first on this one.
Not really. You know, I think thanks for the interview and the questions were perfect on setting up on with the advice. You know, I think that's probably what would have been a normal wrap up is because that truly is the stigma. And honestly, too, you know, Bo has been such an incredible partner for Columbine. You know, I think we're going on now our fifth year of working together, and it started with marketing only. It, you know, it's transitioned into the strategic planning facilitation as well. And I remember even then, you know, I mean, that was a change for us. We'd had the same facilitator for probably 6-7 years. We had the same routine for that entire time.
Yeah.
And we had that first change together. And it was a good opportunity for us to kind of start to break down old guard, I would say, and mm-hmm. start to allow me, because that did happen, you know, what, 2 months after I took over, Bo? you know, so got a lot to handle in for 6 months of taking over. But it was a great way to kind of break that down, break down some of that fear, break down some of that limitation, and start moving us in a direction that would set us up for what happened the following year. Mm-hmm. You know, because we had talked about it. We were like, you know, during that session in 2020, we were already like, no, this mission vision, it really isn't us. It was very generic. You know, I mean, it, like Bo said, you could throw it in the middle of a room and it would apply to 15 different credit unions. Yeah. And there's nothing personalized about it, even though we used the word personalized in it, you know, relevant products, you know, but it was just, it started the opportunity to do that. And it was great to work with somebody who would challenge us, allow us to be mm-hmm. ourselves, mm-hmm. allow us to question, and then us being willing to do so.
Yeah.
And honestly, I've got a fantastic board that's willing to do it as well. And so I got to give them a lot of kudos for, I guess, giving me a little bit of leash to reach out and really communicate our story with our community.
Yeah. As you're talking, I'm thinking about you guys dictate the mission instead of the mission dictating you. You really took the bull by the horns here and really set that stage. So yeah, you guys did it for sure. And now the mission is there for everyone to see, but you guys really made that come to fruition for sure. And Bo, I'm gonna let you have the last word here. Yeah. Just anything else to add on this one? This is why I do this. I just love stories like this. So yeah. So anything else to add, sir?
You just have to do it. You know, in Eric's position as a new CEO, he had the choice to change or remain the same. And we know what would have happened if you didn't change anything. And it mm-hmm. is the board chair of a company that's going through a whole lot more mess than Eric's had to deal with. It can be hard. I live it. I'm not just on the marketing side. You know, it would be easy for me to sit over here and say, Eric, you should do this. It's different when you live it. And you know what he's going to have to go through when you say, we should change this. It's not easy, but I guarantee if credit unions that are struggling right now would just look at Eric's story and say, what if we just made this change?
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
almost like the dam breaks and you yes. start getting somewhere, and it's not easy. It can be painful at times, but gosh, when you get there, it feels so good.
Yeah. Those things are certainly worthwhile for sure. And the other credit unions that you provided examples for as well. So yeah, so this can be done. So, and here's living proof right in front of you. So good stuff, guys. I'm going to let you guys get back to work. Thank you so much for this. Again, this is why I do this. I just love stories like this that really kind of push that proverbial envelope. And so you guys are, again, perfect examples of that. So we thank you for your time and all the cool things you're doing for the industry. So appreciate it, guys. Well done.
Thanks.